We did it. We beat another bad team, the Washington Nationals. I think no surprise, as you can see, it's just me. Thankfully, the Boston Red Sox caught their flights, late flight, and they just beat Baltimore 4-3. So, you know, the Jays win, right, 10-4 over Minnesota, a bad team. They beat good teams and bad. So the standings stood still today, right? And I just feel like overall, right now, what's going on with the New York Yankees is that you guys have expectation that we're going to win these games. You almost felt like we were sleepwalking, like it was almost a boring game. And you hate to say that because these games are all important, right? It's one of 162. When a team that is 23.5 games back in their division flies into town, you're expected to beat those teams. And for the most part, the Yankees do that. They take care of business against these teams. Like, yeah, will they drop a game to Colorado when they shouldn't? Yeah, they'll lack execution and just the fundamentals. But the Yankees have shown their approach, at least offensively, it's going to work just fine against these teams. The status quo for Aaron Boone's Yankees, and I know that our prompt is whether or not he can save his job by winning these games. Guys, it's not necessarily my opinion that these games will save his job, but hasn't this been the coverage that for the New York Yankees, they're going to go out there, and if they can win enough games in the regular season, regardless of which of those games they won, regardless of context, they'll talk about that. In the broadcast, they'll talk about that on radio. Maybe we won't, but I mean, we're just one podcast. So when you look at the score today, guys, it was 10-5, but De Los Santos and what Aaron Boone was trying to do with him at the end of the game there, he was at 40-plus pitches. He was trying to squeeze any out he could get. I thought it was the right move at the time. And then, of course, he ends up bringing in Mark Leiter Jr., which I'm going to get to our supers who mention him. And he gives up the grand slam, which is ironic because I was literally just speaking with my mom on the phone. And I said, well, I mean, it didn't really feel like a 10-5 game because those pitchers wouldn't have pitched. And then she corrected me and said, well, Mark Leiter Jr. pitches and high leverage from time to time. And it really dawned on me, she's right. But I mean, obviously we're not going to read too much into it. The Yankees gave up a bunch of runs at the end of the game. They were otherwise unimportant. And by the way, guys, if you're just joining us and you haven't subscribed to Yankees Unloaded, please be sure to do that. We are 121, probably even closer at this point, 121 subscribers away from 10,000. And it feels like it got here in a flash. We're giving away a Yankees jersey of your choice to one lucky winner. We will announce exactly how we're doing it. We're going to do it live on the screen. If you're with us at Apple Podcasts, be sure to get in on it at YouTube. So thank you guys, of course, and liking the video helps us out a ton. I'm curious how many people actually watched this game because I watched all 9 innings, and that includes when we were up 10-0. And I don't know. It just felt like I was the only person watching this game. I'm not sure. I'm assuming our audience more diehard, more paying attention to the details and trying to find some type of takeaway. But it's just difficult, man, to come up with takeaways when the Yankees have contenders and division rivals walk into town. And even before the series starts, projecting confidence against you and doing absolutely nothing about it, not throwing a single punch the entire time, except against Dustin May at the tail end of the series. It's just difficult to walk into these series still at home against the Nationals and to draw a takeaway. Very difficult to do. You know, but for the time being, I think this serves as more of a Band-Aid, right? It's just a way to get the monkey off your back if you're Aaron Boone. He's not going to have anyone press him in the post game. And even if I was in there asking Boone questions, I probably realize I'm going to have to maybe wait a day or two for them to lose, and then I can ask the question I want. And of course, guys, we're going to talk Volpe being back in the lineup for tomorrow's contest. I know we sort of addressed it, but they actually talked about it as a reset and not as a Caballero is the best guy for the job today. And that rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't like it at all. But of course, we're going to talk about the positives first, and then we'll get to our supers. Cam Schlittler, he was the positive. He was excellent. He was in control. He played around a little bit too much with the cutter, and that's to be expected. Young pitchers, and It just happens, right? The broadcast was talking about it. There's just no reason to go to a pitch unless you've distinguished that I have a actual reason as to why to go away from my four-seam fastball. Now I'll work in my cutter. Very similar to what we saw at a Rodon earlier this year. We were seeing too many four-seams. He says, let me give you a little wrinkle, a little sinker here. He didn't just go to the sinker just for the hell of it. He went to it to get guys off of his four-seam fastball, and it worked to perfection. Cam Schlittler is under the same boat. The difference is he's a rookie. So this is not a huge problem. This is a minor tweak. But overall, six full innings pitched, some length there, four hits, shutout baseball, three walks, and some of those walks got out of control, getting cute with the cutter, and that will improve. I have no doubt about it. And 8Ks, because he has one of the game's best fastballs, he gave up no homers, and his ERA is now plummeted down to 2.76, if for those of you who still recognize ERA. Cam Schlittler is no longer a guy who's just going to stay in this rotation. He's actually a guy who might be able to float his way up in the top half of our rotation, and that's a good thing. For those of you who don't like, just don't recognize how the Yankees do their business with a tight budget, running a tight ship in the offseason, what's really going to help you get what you want is having cheap assets like Cam Schlittler dominating. And I love that the broadcast, they brought up a key point about Cam Schlittler. And they were talking about his command. It's just been there from day one. He's just able to be all over the strike zone. And they mention that when he was drafted by the Yankees, he was 91, 92 miles an hour. By no means was he a power guy. And to be drafted in today's game and throwing 91, you've got to be all over the zone. And if you're not, you're probably selling insurance somewhere. You are not pitching in Major League Baseball. Not in this game, the way it's pitched today. Maybe in 1998, not today. And then Cam Schlittler, I have no idea how, right? And it could be a tweaking of mechanics. You've seen different products, obviously, with driveline. Have no idea how they went about it, but he's added about 10 or 11 miles an hour on his fastball. You saw 101 today. So you're now getting 101 up to 101, a nasty curveball. He is one of the best curveballs we've seen. It's very good. And I expect that slider to get much better. Obviously, I've mentioned before, it has room for improvement. But you can't possibly have any complaints about Cam Schlittler. We'll probably dive into him a bit later in the show. Offensively, Ben Rice hits his 21st home run. If you were watching today's game, it was the longest home run he's ever hit. He's never hit a ball further than that. Jazz Chisholm hit his 25th home run, and I really can't believe this. It was a two-run shot. He's hit six home runs his last 13 games, and it felt like none of them were in any of the games that we really wanted them to be in, unfortunately. And Jazz, as I've said, probably one of the most talented players on this roster. He's just natural talent, raw ability that he almost has to dial back to maximize his game. And you just would like to see him a little bit more focused and honed in the big games. And the only way he's going to be able to do that and prove it is by getting back into the big games again and having to show it to us. Jason Dominguez, finally, this has been my biggest problem, is the lack of power. I should say the second biggest problem behind his defense. But he just gets into double digits with his 10th homer. Nice to see him leave the yard today. But again, guys, the takeaway is execution, right? Overall effort. And there was a story, and I'm going to read this story to you. It was from the booth earlier today, and then I'm going to get to our supers right away. So thank you, guys. You guys have been absolutely incredible. There was a story that was brought up about Sean Dunston. And I don't know if you guys caught that story, and I wrote it down immediately because I wanted to bring it to our audience and discuss it. And they mentioned that Dunston said, hustling out of the box on hits creates pressure that absolutely made the defense panic, otherwise making teams commit mistakes they just normally wouldn't make. Isn't that interesting? Consistent effort makes the defense panic. Now, the defense, this is a professional defense. And the one thing that's been a mainstay for the Yankees is that we make mistakes in big games. Well, what do you tend to get in big games? Maybe not for us, but for most teams, high effort. Not for 162, but when teams play in division, when teams play games where, okay, we're neck and neck in the standings, they get up for those games and the effort's going to be there. And anytime, if you pay attention to the Yankees, today was a very clean game defensively. I was impressed by what the Yankees did out there, and there wasn't much pressure. There wasn't. right? So when we have less pressure, the Yankees field the baseball just fine. It's not a problem. But when it's innings 7 through 9 and you're in a close contest or you're in division, suddenly you see players putting forward more effort on the other side. And what happens next? What's the next move from there? We start making mistakes. Anthony Volpe starts rushing throws, right? You start seeing a Paul Goldschmidt, who is a sure-handed first baseman in terms of his career, taking a little bit of a dip, you know, this season. He's obviously 37, but they start making mistakes. So that's the takeaway here, is that you need to apply pressure in order to create mistakes, and it could be the difference in winning and losing. So I was glad that obviously that story was shared to us. Where in the world did my supers go? You are kidding me. Can anyone, by the way, I know we normally don't do this. If you dropped a super chat in the pregame show, please drop in the live and put it in bold so that I can just let me know what you guys put in that super, because the latest super I have is from Brian. So I really apologize, guys. Of course, absolutely ridiculous that it does that. But Brian with the super, I'm going to throw you up on screen, says, as a Yankee fan, it's hard to give a you-know-what about this team. As long as Boone is the manager and Volpe is the shortstop, I've grown to hate this team lately. You know, Brian, I'm going to address this. So again, thank you for the five. And of course, I'll thank you for Jake, who obviously couldn't make it tonight. It's difficult to enjoy what this product is, because in the end, this is a product. We spend a lot of money to watch this team, whether you get the baseball package. We have quite a few people who listen to this podcast that travel to Yankee Stadium and will take their family to games. And again, I would never tell people not to go to the stadium. You do what you want with your money. But this is an entertainment industry. And so if you know the Yankees are going to play really lackadaisical and just uninspiring baseball, unless they play the Washington Nationals or fill in the blank, the Chicago White Sox, that's difficult. It is. It's just a really difficult thing to hear. So again, guys, thank you for being in the chat. I will, of course, be taking everything from the chat. I wanted to dive a little bit deeper, though, into the Anthony Volpe situation. So, Brian, again, and if you drop the super, be sure again to drop it in bold on the live so I can prop you up on screen. I'll also be bringing chats as well. Let's see. Oh, actually, you know what? I think I might have saved it. Love it. There we go. Perfect. So Slim Lewis, I'll throw you up on screen. Thank you for the two. Says the Yankees are the kings of quadruple A. Back to the conclusion is that Aaron Boone's job, and I understand when Michael K covers this team, and he understands the history of the Yankees just as much as we all do, right? Probably even maybe more so. It's his job. But having said that, in the past where people will criticize Aaron Boone and Michael K will bring up, I mean, these are facts, but it's pointing us, attempting to point us towards a conclusion, which is that the Yankees win X amount of regular season games. And that's a really good thing. And just on its surface, winning regular season games is important. You got to win regular season baseball games during the regular season. Now, the playoffs and the postseason is much more important, but that doesn't happen unless you take care of business in the regular season. And so what you find out is what happens if you just every single year make it to the postseason because you're annihilating bad teams and you're underwhelming against the good, and then you show up to the playoffs, and if you play a team that you deem neck and neck with you, you lose. Is there any conclusions that can be drawn now? And that's what it seems like. I would assume Slim Lewis would have that take, is that, yeah, we can beat Minnesota, right? We did that. St. Louis, they're going the opposite direction. They had a nice start to their season. If they come to town, we'll take care of business with them. Right? Kansas City is starting to win some games, so you feel like, okay, it might be a better series there. And guess what you would expect? The Yankees to start playing worse baseball. They're not going to get up for these series. That is Aaron Boone's job, is to get our team ready and prepared for these games. And it doesn't feel like, if I had to ask you guys, how prepared do you think the Yankees are for games that they're neck and neck in terms of talent. If the Yankees walk into a series, regardless of what you guys think of this team, look around baseball. When you walk into a series and say, this team's got slightly more talent than the Yankees, or it just feels pretty even, how many times have you been proud to watch an entire series beginning to end? I would love to hear it. I would throw you guys up on screen with your story of the last time you guys were thrilled with how they played in a 3 or 4 game set. I would love to hear it. And that's where we're essentially getting at. It's really important. And Peace Geek, we really appreciate the five. Thank you for getting involved with Yankees Unloaded. Says, another stellar performance by Mark Lighted Up the Scoreboard Lighter. Yeah, haven't heard that yet. New nickname. The nicknames are out of control for Yankees baseball. They just are. And again, guys, we are happy. I would say most of us. Most of us are happy to see the Yankees win today. The catch is that you saw Caballero out there. I see it in the chat right now. I'll throw you up on screen. So thank you for getting involved in the chat. It says Caballero did look smooth today. Yeah, he did. Have any of you got into the chat and said, Volpe looked smooth today? Volpe took some strong at-bats today. Do you guys remember the last time that you messaged me that? I read the chat all the time. All the time. Jake just told you last episode that he reads the chat all the time. And I'm going to ask him, of course, when this show's over. We text back and forth Yankees baseball all day. When was the last time, and yes, Ninja, you saw the double play, and we're going to get to your voicemail, diamond level member, and voicemail is hilarious, of course, with a signature, is that when was the last time, if you just compare the two players, Caballero, and this is insane to say, insane, Caballero and Anthony Volpe, who's the better baseball player? It's the 25th now. Who's the better baseball player August 26th for the Yankees? Who's the player who's going to put the Yankees in the best possible situation to win a singular baseball game? Because that's the job that they tell us that they're after. And yet, Aaron Boone, prior to today's game, because we knew yesterday that Anthony Volpe was going to be playing tomorrow's game. We knew that, right? Now, having said that, if Volpe is considered a reset, they're considering this a reset. So what it means is they just think Volpe is a much better player than Caballero. And we're going to utilize the day off not to play the best player, but we're just situationally going to get him off his feet and make the assumption that he'll just be a better player. When did that work? Our broadcast has complained about his mechanics. Why would him sitting on the bench for a day suddenly improve those mechanics? Why? No one has an explanation for me, and they don't have no anecdotal evidence to even point that it could work. And so that's where I'm at. There's no reason to know 2 days ago that we're going to sit Volpe that day because they were seeing a lefty the day prior, so we wanted him to play. He's going to sit that day. We're like, okay, great. So I'm going to see Caballero. Okay, awesome. That's really good. I love the way he's playing baseball. Love the way he tagged up from second base to third, and he's taking a peek back at the center fielder, seeing where the ball's going, if it's online, and realizing if I have to go back, I can still. I'm still athletic enough. Just using your head. And then they talk about when he gets to third base, pre-game, he said, I just want to change the game anyway in a positive way I can. I'm not trying to hit homers. I'm not trying to do any of that. And didn't we all just simultaneously think, oh, wow, it would actually be nice if a player with that mentality played more times than not, as long as you're performing. And yet the Yankees are going to go into August 26th and say, Anthony Volpe gives us the best opportunity to win. And we need him at his best. Very similar to the story with Devin Williams, to go somewhere. It's untrue. Completely untrue. It's nonsense. So that's the part that just drives me up a wall. It's obviously frustrating. I can't understand it. So I don't know, what is the takeaway? Guys, if you could jump in the chat, let me know, what is your takeaway? Do you guys have any questions for me? I would love to put you guys up on screen. It's just insane to me. There you have it. So Fit, obviously a member here at Yankees Unloaded, said, just wanted to say defense was smooth without Volpe. Saw some nice double plays today. Really nice. They did a nice job. Everyone seemed to be communicating. Seemed to be a little bit more athleticism. And we're talking about a defense that had Jason Dominguez in left field. And still, the defense did their jobs. Now, much easier to defend when you're playing against Washington, but you still got to make the plays. They made them, right? Jazz looked very smooth over at second base, and some plays weren't so easy, and they made them look easy. And of course, it helps when your shortstop's making just simple throws, not the special stuff. Don't need to see web gems. Caballero is not Rafael Furcal. He's not Ozzie Smith. He's not out there to be that. He's out there to be an improvement on the player that exited the field, and I think that he's done it. So I really appreciate you obviously hopping in there. Appreciate it, William. Want to throw some random chats up on the screen. So Vidya says, remember in like 2006, maybe the Yankees played five in Boston and won them all late in the year. They went from one down to four up in the East. This is why, guys, that Jake, when I ask, because we have two separate opinions, and that's the best part about the show, is that Jake likes to talk about what is literally possible, which is still effective, because we've got to play these games. They just because we're losing a lot of these games against contenders doesn't mean that series at Fenway is canceled. It's not. You still got to take your flight, Delta First Class, and you're going to play those games whether or not you're going to do anything with them or not. And technically speaking, that 09 team that won the World Series, we didn't play Boston that well either during the regular season. But obviously the one caveat here, the Yankees don't play contenders well at all this season. So that in itself is somewhat the problem. And Alex, who's obviously a mod here with Yankees Unloaded, so Alex, appreciate it, says, if you're a Volpe supporter, and I've got something for you here in a second, how many more at-bats and defensive gems do you need to see to realize he most likely peaked, at least on this team? So the conclusion there, right? So peaking on this team, that's all that matters. I know when you hear about players' development, they make it seem like all players are just going to reach a max level of we're just going to develop to our peaks with every one of these teams. It's not the case. It's not. Some players are going to develop like absolute garbage, turn into nothing with your team, and you can flip them to your division rival or just send them across the leagues to the Cardinals or the Rockies, and they can just work out. And people sit in hindsight all day, every day, and say, oh, I wish we hung on to that player. It's like, no, you don't. Anthony Volpe, on the other hand, as I've covered him, I think Anthony Volpe 3 or 4 years from now will just be fine. Just a league average shortstop. He'll pop some homers, probably 15 homers a year, hit 250, play solid defense. Do you know why I think that? I think he plays objectively worse baseball under pressure. I believe that. I've watched it. I'm not trying to convince you all of anything. I watch it. Have you guys watched Anthony Volpe play? Have you watched him field baseballs innings 1 through 6? Have you watched him field a baseball innings 7 through 9 in a close game? It's not the same player. He makes mistakes. Every player does. But when you need him to make a play, right? Aaron Boone calls him elite. You know what elite shortstops do? They make smart decisions when everyone else is nervous and panicky and rushed. Elite slows the game down. They make the smart play. The Brandon Crawfords, right? The sure-handed shortstops of our game. They'll go into a postseason setting and make the right toss over to second base, the shorter throw. They'll make the strong throw with accuracy under pressure. They just do it. So, yeah, if you're a Volpe supporter, I've received a lot of apologies. Believe it or not, guys, a lot of DMs on Twitter saying that I owe you an apology about Anthony Volpe. Now, of course, all these apologies are private, just as they always are, but the disrespect of how dumb I was saying that Anthony Volpe would not be a star in New York, all that stuff was public. So if you're an Anthony Volpe supporter, we're all Anthony Volpe supporters. You know what it means to be a supporter? I was rooting for you at the beginning for it to work. That's all that being a supporter should mean, really what Alex is getting at is if you're a Volpe, it's almost like you're part of a club, right? Of a defense team, like you're a lawyer. There, none of those should exist for any one of these players. None of them. So that is where I'm at with it. And Izzy, who's obviously been awesome in our chat, says, I don't care what they do against Washington or against Chicago, who obviously two teams we'll be seeing here in the near future. The 12 games of September, and that's the kicker, against Houston. Listen to this schedule. Houston, Detroit, Toronto, and Boston. Yep. Look at that. Look at that schedule. Now, guys, that's a heavy schedule for any team, any of them. But contenders in this league would hold their own. They're not going to go in and sweep Houston, win, maybe win a series in Detroit, sweep Toronto, and sweep Boston. That's not realistic. But when you go see Boston at Fenway, you have to win the series now. And that's a tall order. They're a good team. We covered them as a good team at the beginning of the year. They're going to be a good team. They're going to be a better team when you walk in. And they're riding into momentum. They're at the finish line. It's the same thing with Toronto. Toronto's looking at this saying, guys, the finish line is right around the corner. It's right there. If we throw one more punch, the fight is over. That's what these teams are going to be. They're going to be going for our jugular. And the Yankees are going to have to put back a fight that I'm not sure how many of our audience, I mean, you guys have been awesome for the past several months now with our podcast. I don't know how many of our listeners look at this schedule, and not everyone agrees here with Izzy. You know, some people think that the Yankees are just going to turn it on a dime. What do you think their record is going to be through this schedule? There's no wrong answers, but there'll be wrong answers once the series are over, and we'll cover that. And Mitchell, really appreciate the super. Thank you for the five. Says, replace Volpe and maybe Wells. Ditch Boone, and this team could be good. Ditch Cash, and they could be great. That actually, I'm glad you said good to great, because Ninja Hot Dog thinks we'll go 3-9. Guy says 2 wins. Now, maybe some of them are exaggerations on your guys' part. Maybe you believe that stuff, right? That we're going to go out there. But if folks told you, yeah, that Boston series, you're going to take one game against Dustin May, that would have been seen as doomer, just doomer. You don't think the Yankees are going to hold their own and even take a split at home against Boston? Boston's not a great team, and I would have agreed with you. But the Yankees just haven't taken care of business. So the most important thing for the Yankees, if they want to go and tap into greatness, they're going to have to cut off the head of the snake. They just will. And it doesn't suddenly just become the wrong take because the Yankees won 10-5 against Washington. No, they're not beating any great teams. So therefore, you're not a great team. You haven't proven you're a great team. It doesn't matter what your roster looks like. You're not pulling the rope all in the same direction enough to win these games. I just think that Brian Cashman just sort of sets the tone that we're thinking about tomorrow, perhaps maybe even more today. Our algorithms consider the full picture rather than what's happening tonight at Yankee Stadium. When we go out onto the road and we go to Fenway Park, is it all about tonight? Is this war? This team doesn't feel like war. It doesn't feel like that. It feels much more country club-like, much more relaxed, much more macro. And again, from a business perspective, that could really work. That could be a way to minimize risk and pump out, say, an 85-93 win team. And guess who's going to be with their butts in those seats? You. Us. We're going to be there. And I'm not here to root against it. All I'm telling you guys is that there's going to be a difference between good by the end of the year and greatness. Teams are going to separate themselves. Have the Yankees shown you guys enough for you to think that they can tap into that greatness? There are a lot of factors when it comes to it. I just don't know if I've seen enough. I don't. And I want to throw this up on the screen. Retro Tony. He says, Gary, do you think the Yankees are pulling back against the Red Sox knowing they will meet in the wild card? Don't show all your cards. Not like starting Cam against Boston. So, no, I don't. I'll give you a simple answer. I won't dance around it. If this was the NFL and I was seeing Chiefs, I don't know, Chiefs playing a rival, right, in the AFC, it'd make a lot of sense. You're in the regular season. You feel like you've got a 3 or 4 game lead, you know, in your division. Team comes out. We're going to show them cover one. The opposing quarterback, maybe it's a rival, is picking apart cover one, destroying it all night. And guess who's going to be yapping all night on ESPN until the following weekend? They'll be talking about it for weeks, is how they beat you. But you know what happens as soon as you get to the playoffs? Cover one turns into cover three, disguised as cover four, into cover three sync, right? Into all these different coverages that you didn't see. We showed you vanilla so we can show you Rocky Road in the playoffs. The Yankees can't do that, not in baseball. If the Yankees genuinely sat 5+ games back in the division, 5+ games, and any one game could be the difference between playing at home in the playoffs in a wild card series or not, and your choice was to play with your food and leave Cam Schlittler off the mound, right? And I'm not telling you guys that's what happened. I'm just telling you, your choice was to pull punches so we can throw a punch and a haymaker later. That would be blasphemous, that decision. Absolutely horrible. And I cannot imagine why anyone would think that would be a smart thing to do. B-Rye with the 5 says, I know you already spoke to the contrary, and thank you for the 5. Says, but I think pulling Delos after 2 innings was the move. I'm good with Volpe only starting versus lefties. So we did talk about Volpe's numbers. They're not elite against lefties, but they're good enough. The problem is his defense in big games. That's a problem, B-Rye, and it has to be addressed. Now, it's not addressing it doesn't mean just saying, oh yeah, it needs to be better and he's got to pick it up in the media. No, the media is not a part of figuring it out. It's about the results. That's it. Not about Boone. It's not about what Judge could say in postgame to back him or not. None of those things. It's about results. So when you talk about Delos, you know, Delos coming out of this game, it was 10-0. Is there a correct time to pull him? Yeah, technically speaking, he shouldn't have pitched as long as he did. He pitched 45+ pitches. But the deal is, if you're up 10-0, can you just stay out on the mound so nobody else has to pitch? Mark Leiter Jr., for whatever reason that there would be, they have high hopes in him. They love to use him in big time situations. You saw it in the playoffs. You saw it in the World Series. And they would have rather not used Leiter Jr. at all. They would have rather had nobody else touch the mound. And that's a good thing. So yeah, from a baseball perspective, you just have to look at it and say it's 10-0. Can you just go out there and accept what's going on? Okay. Got to get into the chat here. I really appreciate you guys. You guys have been absolutely awesome because, you know, of course, when you're by yourself, you gotta finagle. And Yankee Fangirl for Life says, we must be the minority because the subway peeps cheering, let's go Yanks, and I'm chanting Fire Boone. They're looking at me like we have 4 heads. And a guy says, but we won tonight. Yeah, guys, not everyone's going to be, you know, I don't know, tapped into the overhanging thought as to what we should think about these games. Just hate to break it to you guys. The average person that goes to Yankee Stadium, they're going to be a great fan. But are they going to be tapped into, hey, winter meetings wasn't aggressive enough, Aaron Boone's not accountable enough, right? Are they going to be tapped into all those details? Maybe some people in right field. But for the most part, a lot of the folks that are going to be there are just going to be looking at it from a day-to-day casual standpoint. That's just sports in general, any sport, any fan base. As you walk in, I paid money for these seats. I want them to win today. And like I told you before, I'm rooting for this team to win. But I want them to pursue winning, and still at the end of the year, if it's not enough, and we can draw the conclusion that we have a certain problem here, we've got a certain problem there, do we have enough guts to alleviate? Can we fix those problems? Are we man enough to say, he's not a solution, get him out of here, I need this in there, in place, to get to where we need to get to? That's the question, and a lot of people that are going to be at the game, they're not looking to lose or to do anything for something down the road to happen. They're there for chicken, and then hopefully Grisham hits a homer, right? It's just as simple as that. And Welkin, and I'm glad, thank you for being here, of course. Thank you for getting involved in the chat. So he mentioned, and this was the inning, of course, where Caballero, with the brilliant base running from second to third, I absolutely love the tag up attempt. It was aggressive. It was smart. And then you saw a flared ball down the right field line from Aaron Judge, and it almost feels like you get, I hear what you're saying, Welkin. It almost feels like you get too much credit for what you actually did, but I want to give him credit for putting the ball in play. He did that. Now, Aaron Judge, the last 30 days, is hitting 200. He's probably going to win the MVP anyways, because his numbers before those 30 days were just so ridiculous that his counting stats warrant an MVP. And I know that's frustrating. I know, Welkin, you want to see the best offensive player in the game perform at a time in the season where the Yankees need him. You can say what you want about this Yankees team being well-rounded. You can say what you want about this team being able to maybe pick up Judge, maybe more so than they could before when we had Soto and Judge, with what was going on in the rest of the offense. You can make all those cases you want. But Aaron Judge has to play like Aaron Judge. That's part of the job. And I know it's high expectations, but if we were getting 250, 260 in the meantime, that would suffice. It would hold us over. But he's not performing up to his standards. Now, they asked him in the post games, they've asked him three or four post games in a row, how are you feeling physically? And he says, good. Well, I don't have any information to point to otherwise. So there you have it. And Ninja says even the right field bleachers are corrupt. Yeah, perhaps. And I want to get this super up there. Steve, really appreciate the five. Thank you for getting involved at Yankees Unloaded. And again, guys, just a friendly reminder, make sure you subscribe to Yankees Unloaded. We are roughly 100 subscribers away. I can't even believe I'm saying that. Because our goal at the end of this year, by the end of the playoffs, is to get to 10,000 subs. And we're, of course, going to blow that out the water. But we really appreciate you guys. Subscribe, hit that bell, like the video, and you may win a Yankees jersey of your choice. So I've been already receiving a bunch of messages saying, how do I redeem? Don't worry about it. We'll make sure you're contacted and it'll be sent straight to you. Obviously, we'll let you fully customize what you want. So we're looking forward to it. But Steve, thank you for the five, says, I don't get why we keep going to Volpe as the started when the problems are solved with Caballero. I want to win now. Well, Steve, to answer this, so I appreciate you getting involved here. This is a good question. Like, this is what's really a statement that I agree with, but it's more so about why it's not happening. Like, why is it that Steve wants to win now? Gary, the Yankees Unloaded podcast host, he wants to win now. Aaron Boone presumably wants to win now, and yet two totally different decisions are come up with. Steve and I would say, well, Caballero is the better baseball player on Tuesday for the Yankees. He's the best option the Yankees have. Does anyone else have any objections to that? How many people in this room would say, of the 500 people in here, how many of you would say, yeah, no, I think Volpe getting that reset day, he's the best option. The ceiling of what he does, the mean of what he's provided the last month, that's the player we need to go where we need to go tomorrow. You know what the Yankees are doing instead? The Yankees are essentially saying, if Caballero is our best option at shortstop, we can't go where we need to go. In order for us to go there, Anthony Volpe has to be at his best. Exactly what the coverage was about Devin Williams. Exactly. They essentially said, we know you don't want us to pitch Devin Williams. They didn't say this, but this is what they were acting on. We are going to pitch him anyways, because if we fix him, it's the only possible way we can win something. And so that's the way the Yankees are approaching this, Steve. That's how I've consumed this content at this point, is that they know Anthony Volpe's playing terrible baseball. They may hop on the mic and say he's elite, and they're watching the same errors we're watching. That ball almost hit Aaron Boone in the dugout. Volpe through the other day. It's not like he doesn't know where these balls are going, right? So that's the gist of it. They're looking long-term, and they're making short-term mistakes with those long-term decisions. It's not how you manage baseball. It's not. It's a frustrating way, obviously, as an experienced fan of this team, where you're hoping that the best players, you have a hot streak, right? Even you hear some players from the past, Clint Frazier, right? And they'll say, well, I had two home runs yesterday. I had a walk-off home run yesterday. I'm feeling myself. I couldn't wait to get to Yankee Stadium and put on those pinstripes again and build off that. And then I was out of the lineup. There was just no rhyme or reason. It's because they're looking big picture all the time. It's frustrating. It is. So I think if there were at least Anthony Volpe only played in a platoon situation against left-handers, I would at the very least see why they're looking at the splits and drawing a conclusion. I think I can get behind on that. Would it be my decision? No. I would just play Caballero every day. I don't care who pitches. However, Anthony Volpe is hitting against lefties. Now, Jake had a hypothesis on that, and he said that maybe all his home runs are coming against righties. Maybe he just has a better approach against lefties. Maybe it's less power hungry. Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea what the issue would be there, but regardless, those results are there. So yeah, Steve, I understand the frustration. I want to win now as well. I do. And Mark with the five, obviously, thank you for being a Yankees Unloaded member. And guys, we're going to play our voicemails as soon as we're done with our super. So we really appreciate you guys and getting involved here. Mark, again, thank you. Says, I'd take Cap hitting 100 if it means he brings it in the postseason. Let him take it easy until then. So Mark, in hindsight, if Aaron Judge turned it on in the playoffs, Jake and I made the prediction. We think it's going to happen. Same exact predictions I was making with Alex Rodriguez. I made the assumption A-Rod's going to figure it out. He's too good of a player. That is the extent of why I made those predictions. I'm not some wizard. I'm not Kevin Long. I'm not his hitting coach. I didn't see some mechanic that he was turning on in late September. No. It was simply the player. Aaron Judge is just too good of a player to play consistently bad baseball when you need him most. And so far in his career, he's played bad baseball in the biggest games of the year. He just has. He hasn't been absolutely useless in the clutch. He's had clutch regular season at-bats, certainly. We saw that home run he hit off Crochet and Fenway earlier this year. But Class A postseason last year. But the totality of it is just not good enough. It doesn't look like Aaron Judge. So, Mark, I would agree with you. If he can turn it on when it matters most, but what you're really getting at is if Aaron Judge hits the way you're obviously saying there, he's going to hit 100, he's not going to hit. The Yankees are probably sitting in the third spot in the wild card. That's a tall task. For the Yankees to go from the third spot in the wild card, they're going to be on the road for wild card series. They're going to go through wild card, division series, championship series, and to the World Series. Is it impossible? No. Is it an impractical way to go about being a title contender? Absolutely. Absolutely. It just is. And I don't know if anyone was lowering their expectations to the point where I think we'll be okay if A-Rod hits 265 during the regular season. But if he puts us on his back in that Minnesota series and he goes out there and just dominates Philadelphia and is essentially I'm going to be the co-MVP behind Hideki Matsui. It's just 1-2 punch. I don't know if anyone would have said that back then. I just think our expectations were a bit higher. But I agree with you. If we can get a postseason success, it would probably be a lot more important than anything that can happen right now. And Brian, with the super with the two, says, thank you, Brian. This team can't admit bad decisions and move on. Which decisions are those, Brian? Like, which ones stick out to you? Guys, I'm actually asking each and every one of you, can you drop in the live? Which decision have the Yankees made that you believed they hung on to too long? And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with being wrong. Teams are wrong all the time. All the time. Right? James Wood was traded by San Diego. You think they wouldn't want his services right now? Of course they would. And they look at it, oh, maybe we made a little bit of a short-sighted mistake. Right? Yordan Alvarez is traded away by the Dodgers. You don't think they would like his services? Of course they would. Absolutely. Teams make mistakes, but do those mistakes linger for years? That's the question. I'm very curious to know which choice, and my choice is Anthony Volpe. I mean, he's the leader in the clubhouse. He's the shortstop, most important position in the field. It's a choice the Yankees made, and this choice has caused so much damage. Even before he ever showed up, all the players they said no to, all the players they're still probably going to say no to here in the near future, they're still kind of punting it over to George Lombard Jr. This is a mistake that's cost us years of Yankees baseball. It's not good. It's not at all. So people are saying Devin Williams. I see Welkin Devin Williams. I see William Wallace Devin Williams. Ninja Hot Dog mentions, and this is more related to Anthony Volpe, you're talking about no Luis Castillo. And that was a straight up trade, right? Where you're talking about Volpe being the headliner over there to Cincinnati would have netted us an ace. And you're talking about not maybe our ace, but you're now talking about bringing in someone like Castillo to go behind a Gerrit Cole. It's disgusting. It's nasty. And we said no to that. So I really appreciate you guys getting involved. Devin Williams was technically a player that we flipped. We said we had a surplus in our rotation, which in hindsight looks bad. But at the time, I think all of us were looking at our rotation saying, yeah, it does kind of seem like we have six names there. It almost seems like maybe not an embarrassment of riches, but we're not going to have six starters on the team. We're not going with a six-man rotation. We need to flip somebody. And Nestor Cortez was that guy. Obviously, you had the bad taste in your mouth, gave up the home run in game one of the World Series, and they kind of just threw him Milwaukee's way. Okay. All right. You get Devin Williams. Devin Williams was a one-year rental. That's what he was. And hopefully he gives you a shot in the arm. He gives you some experience back there in the bullpen. You don't have the same issue you had last year in the World Series. And it almost seems like he created a problem, even bigger problem. So, and Ninja says he was pissed off when was Montgomery for Bader. Now Montgomery eventually becomes a champion. So that didn't work out. However, we're going to get to Steven here. Says with the two, Steven, thank you for the two. Really appreciate it. Says long term, but we want to win now. Cabby is better. Is Anthony Volpe better long-term? I like the question. Again, Steven, thank you. Really appreciate it. Is Anthony Volpe playing tomorrow? Is that actually an improvement for the Yankees as far as where they'll be in September? Where they'll be in spring training of next year? Does it really make a single, just an inkling of a difference at all? And Steven, I'm actually asking you, and of course I'm asking everybody else at the same time, but I'm just curious, is the difference between Volpe reaching his potential, for whatever that's worth, whatever that potential leads, is it a matter of him being trusted to play in this wild card race? In the midst of a 1-for-28 where he just drops down bunts with men on base and with one out? Just giving away his bat, is that player who just exudes zero confidence whatsoever on the baseball field, is the difference between his development and not him playing? I don't think so. I don't see it. Matter of fact, I think the best thing for Anthony Volpe's long-term future was to be sent down to the minor leagues to this day. I think Anthony Volpe should be sent down to the minor leagues today. I do. And of course, now it's late because the Yankees are going into arbitration this offseason and they're going to say, well, what now? Do we pay a player that we were willing to send down in the middle of the year $6 million? Probably not. Probably not. It's a difficult thing, but it was a choice that you should have made over a year ago. That's why it's the biggest problem I think there is for the Yankees. It's disheartening. It is. Because the Yankees are continuously trying to make decisions that are forward-thinking. And I don't blame them for trying to do it. But you're making the same choices over and over again, and you're expecting different results. You won't get those different results. You won't. So I want to get to our voicemail this obviously is the first time that I'm clicking it. So obviously bear with me. And guys, make sure if you don't hear anything, just let me know you don't. But obviously, oh, I think we have two voicemails, actually. This one's not saved, so I'm not exactly sure who sent it. But I'm going to go ahead and play Ninja Hot Dogs now. Oh, you guys can't hear this? Oh. I'll probably... This is epic. So let me go ahead and transcribe it for you guys. Because I think I would be doing... Yeah, I would be... Wait, so my mom can hear him and nobody else can hear him? Yeah. So anyways, I'll go ahead and read the the transcription here. Ninja says, I am so pissed right now. I'm leaving the stadium. And this is after the Grand Slam, of course. Literally can't even win without embarrassing ourselves. Light him up later. Lighter. It's my mom is now calling him. And Gary, Delos Meatballs, last walks, absolutely destroyed it. I mean, we sure got to run. But those were that package. Obviously, the transcription is horrendous. But he also says, fire and boon, baboon. So yeah, I have no idea why my mom can hear this, but no idea. So yeah, we'll get to it later. I'll try to figure it out. Not sure. But again, really appreciate you guys being here. But any other questions about the Yankees? Any statements that you guys want to put up on screen? I really appreciate it. And we'll dive into it because I do want to talk just a little bit about Jason Dominguez. I want to touch on because he did hit the home run today. I'm sure none of you were impressed. I get that. But he's got to show power. I think that's the next step for J-Dom, and he's no longer the Martian for me. You don't get nicknames when you play this level of baseball, which is league average offense and bad defense. But today he played solid defensively, not a problem. And it's got to matter long term. You've got to show that power. In order to get an underperforming glove, you got to go out there and rake. That's been the prerequisite. It just is. Not everybody can be a great defender. Not everybody can. But exclusively, the players who can't play defense, they rake. They just do. So... I hope that that continues. I hope Jason Dominguez shows us as we go into the winter, because there's some folks who are saying maybe we should consider trading this player. Maybe the upside isn't so high the way that they sold it to us. Now, that may not be the case, and maybe it's just early on in a career where 2 years down the road we're sitting here thinking, remember we almost traded that guy? But what you don't want to have is where all of a sudden 2 or 3 years down the road, you're looking at, you've got Yoan Moncada on your hands. That's not what we need. It's just not. And Steve with the super and the five, thank you for that. Steve says, I understand space is limited, but I'd rather rest Judge so he is back healthy in himself, call up Jones and Stanton DH. This is an interesting concept. Very interesting. Because Aaron Judge right now is not Aaron Judge. He hasn't been Aaron Judge for a while. Offensively, hasn't been anything. It's just a stretch to even call him big number 99 right now. He's not a big time at bat against any quality pitching. And he's obviously probably the most respected bat in the game, and rightfully so. His numbers speak for themselves. But this is an interesting concept because I don't know I disagree with it. Now, Jake, my partner here, he's been leading the bus that Spencer Jones should be called up right away. And Spencer Jones is playing a high enough brand of baseball, high enough level, Double A, where the best pitching resides. He destroyed Double A. They call him up to AAA, where the majority of scouts were. Happened before the deadline, so folks were wondering, is this teeing him up for a trade? We're not exactly sure what's happening. And he's done nothing but rake. And so now that you're in a situation where Aaron Judge is not Aaron Judge, because I would say this is a physical issue. Like, he's more hurt than what they're telling us. And he's still maybe not ailing, but he's working his way back physically and it's affecting his play. Well, then why wouldn't you consider bringing up a player who's annihilating the minor leagues and allowing him to get Aaron Judge off his feet altogether to get him back to form? Because if Aaron Judge doesn't get back to physical form, this team's useless anyways. So, Steve, I love this idea. I think this makes a lot of sense to me. I'm just curious. And yeah, Slim, I did get to your super. Marvin says, I feel his elbow is limiting him. We don't have any idea to what extent this elbow is bothering him. We just don't, right? We had similar situation. You have Shohei Ohtani dealing with Tommy John. Didn't affect him offensively. He got Tommy John surgery. Didn't affect him. Not a lick. Now, it affects the throwing, but you're talking about just as a pure hitter, as a DH. Yeah, he was fine. So I don't want to just tell you guys this elbow is the difference. This is the reason he's hitting 200. I would never say that. But there has to be some type of effect of him maybe having to DH, and maybe he doesn't perform as well out of the DH spot. So I don't know. Retro Tony likes the idea. Steve, this is what it's all about. The creativity of like how we go about this. And Gabriel Ortiz, just throwing a couple live chats out there. I think this stuff is good. Gabriel says, why does it feel like the organization just doesn't like Jason Dominguez? There's no such thing as liking or disliking. I think the word to use is favor. Favor. Why don't they favor Jason Dominguez? And I'll give you an honest answer, and it's the same reason I don't favor Jason Dominguez. Because folks, especially young people, they call it hate. No, I don't think it fits. I think it's just a cop-out way to just get out of discussion. Now, Jason Dominguez is a player that is hitting 250. I mean, I can read you his numbers. Certainly anyone can. But he's hitting 256. His OPS is 719. A league average hitter, if you plucked any one player off of any one roster across the league, the average OPS would be 700. His is essentially 700 at 719. And the reason for that, and he can work a walk, and he has excellent at-bats. We love his eye. All that is just awesome. But he doesn't slug. And when you don't slug, and you don't field the position well, especially manning left field, the most difficult position to man at Yankee Stadium. You were developed as a center fielder, but the team has better defensive center fielders on the roster. So they're playing them in center field, and that answer is Trent Grisham or Cody Bellinger, both of which are better defensively in center field. So the Yankees are choosing to play those players in those positions, moving their top prospect, Jason Dominguez, to left field. And he hasn't performed. He's played good enough for you to not say he sucks. He doesn't suck. But he's not playing better than Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham had two knocks again today. He's hitting 250 as well. But you know the difference there? His OPS is 823. He's already hit a career high in homers. He's going to hit over 25 home runs this year. Trent Grisham has been great. Who else is Jason Dominguez going to play over? Is he going to DH? Because if the glove's an issue, oh, you can throw him over a DH. No, you can't. Why not? Because his bat doesn't hold a candle to Giancarlo Stanton. That's why. So if DH is occupied, can't throw him over there, can't put him in left field. It's the most difficult defensive assignment in the outfield. You can't throw him in right field because Aaron Judge hasn't been brought to the infield or put to DH. He's manning right field. He was in center the year prior, struggled. The Yankees know there's nowhere to put Jason Dominguez. Whether you think he's a good player or not, whether you want to develop him or not, there's nowhere to put him. So that's the reason why you won't see Jason Dominguez. He hasn't played good enough baseball to win an argument against any one individual in our outfield. And at first, earlier this year, I said, well, I think the development of Jason Dominguez is just more important until they started losing games consistently. Now that answer is just out the window. It is. And Guy, I really appreciate you dropping this in. We were mentioning about the elbow injury to Aaron Judge and why maybe it wasn't affecting him or was. In comparison to Otani, I'm glad you put this up. I'll put it up on screen. It says that was Otani's lead arm. That's absolutely a factor. So I really appreciate you bringing it in. This is why I said I would never draw a conclusion that it is or isn't affecting him. All I know is what is as far as numbers. And Aaron Judge hitting 200 in late August in the last 30 days is alarming from a physical perspective. What changed? Is it just performance? Is it even possible for a player, not talking about playoffs, but during the regular season, to play for 4 full months of baseball and hit 350 plus and then turn into a 200 hitter for the next month? How often does that happen? Probably not very. So that's the reason I said I feel like it is, if I had to guess, an issue physically, but I'm just not exactly sure. And Mark with the 5, really appreciate it. Thank you, Mark. Says, based on eye tests and watching games, I've always noticed Judge's game decline when he wasn't playing the field. Are there stats to back this up? Now, I don't know exactly what Aaron Judge hits as a DH. I can certainly look this up, because that would be very interesting what he does. I would assume they're not. Usually they utilize his DH days, just looking at the past. He's not dealing with injuries. He used to be known as somewhat of an injury-prone player, and it was a worry when we were giving him his contract extension. He sort of solved that before we gave it to him. But his DH days usually would be what you saw in that Kansas City series, where we're going to play 3 games on the road. We've got a Boston series coming up. We're going to get you off your feet, but you're going to stay in the lineup. You're too good not to hit, but you're going to DH. And it was easier to do it when Giancarlo wasn't on the team physically because they could just utilize it. Now, I did just go to StatMoose and not even sure what the hell they're telling me here. Yeah, they really haven't told me jack. Yeah, they told me nothing. So really appreciate it for the website. That's awesome. But so far, no. Yeah. Does anyone have the stats of what he does, a website that would be best to go find his numbers as a DH versus center field and right field? Because I know defensively, we know what his numbers are. We've read them on the show, that his numbers decline defensively when he goes out to center field. But Mark wants to know, and I want to know, how does he perform under these circumstances? I'm curious. Very curious. Baseball savant. Maybe. Yeah, I have absolutely no idea. So, stats as a DH. Yeah, not finding anything. But I would make the assumption, very similar to what Giancarlo said, I like to be involved. That's his quote. I want to be out in the outfield. I don't feel like I'm a part of the game. And so, you know, I would assume it's just not as good. Stats. DH. Come on, Fangraphs. One time. Jake is much better at looking up these stats because he reads these all day, every day. Yep. No idea. Sick. Really appreciate that. Yeah. So, yeah, Mark, again, what we're going to do is in our next episode, obviously tomorrow since we're a daily show, I'm going to go find those for you. I'm going to look up his exact numbers as a DH, not just in 2025, because I think that's cherry picking bad numbers that I think we all know aren't going to be good. The majority of his at-bats he's taken as a DH this year, he's really struggled. Armando says use Grock. I should use Grock. Why not? I don't like AI, but you know, in this situation where we need to find some information, what are Aaron Judge's stats as a DH in his career? Do it big for me here, Grock. Okay, so this is more short term. So it says, for example, in 2022, Judge played 25 games as a DH, contributing to his overall stats of three. That doesn't matter. Okay. This didn't tell me anything. Yep, this told me nothing. So, yep, I definitely tried. Grock didn't do a damn thing for me there. Nothing. They actually just told me his stats overall and then told me how many times he's DH'd. So, yeah, unfortunate. Yeah, Jake, you've been replaced by Grock unsuccessfully. So, yeah. So, anyway, I really appreciate you guys, obviously. Any other questions, obviously, before we go? I don't even know how we've gone an hour and 10. But, yeah, again, guys, if you haven't, yeah, of course, Marvin. Jake is still my stats guru guy. He's the stats guy. Oh, here we go. Angelo says, found it. If you could throw that up on the screen, would really appreciate that. Anyone who could throw it up on the screen, I will throw you up on the screen and we will discuss these numbers. So here we go. Angelo is saying that he's taken 927 plate appearances, 737 at-bats. And Jeff, not often we get these. These are rare. Jeff, thank you for the $2 super sticker. Really appreciate that. So in 737 at-bats, he has 217 hits. I'd be curious to know about the slugging and whatnot. But Ninja Hot Dog has retrieved some stats for us per Fangraphs. Says that he's hitting .347, and no surprise, in his home position of right field. That's where he's comfortable. It's the easiest position to play at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees have offered it to him. He moved out of it when we acquired Juan Soto. It made a lot of sense. Juan Soto loves to play deep. Any ball over his head is gone at Yankee Stadium, and he'll play the ball in front of him. And we got a league average output from Soto, but then Judge's defense suffered. Now, from an offensive perspective, Judge rakes as a right fielder, no surprise, but as a DH, he's a .277 hitter for 2025. So, again, I think this actually tells the opposite story that we were expecting. Aaron Judge has been DHing now for a while, for a bit here, and he's been atrocious, not good at all. And considering all those numbers in this stretch, he's still hitting .277 as a DH. He's hitting .200 the last 30 games. So I do think while these numbers do tell that he's not the same player as a DH, it's not as bad as you think it is. At least that's my takeaway. So he's slugging. Angelo, as he brings up, he's slugging .592, and his ops is still over 1,000. So, yeah. And I love this question. I want to answer it. I really appreciate you hopping in the live chat and getting involved. So thank you for doing so. Says, season ends today. Does Warren or Cam, of course, meaning Cam Schlittler, get game 4 at home? I'm pitching Cam Schlittler. And I'm curious, guys, what would you do in this situation? Now, the obvious feeling to me is that you just watch Cam Schlittler at his best. He still struggles, right, with the cutter and when to use it, when not to. Falls in love with it. Maybe the pitch count could get a little out of hand. But that stuff, to me, is going to play in the biggest games. Just will. I'm expecting Cam Schlittler to be a much better arm than Will Warren. And that's coming from somebody that has high hopes for Will Warren. I know that when you evaluate 3 through 5 starters in this league, people tend to just feel like I couldn't care less about him, and that tends to be the coverage. But Cam Schlittler, it's not even about development. It's about output. If I had a game tomorrow that I had to win, and my options were Will Warren or Cam Schlittler, at Yankee Stadium or not, we know Will Warren's numbers on the road, but we'll throw that stuff aside. Cam Schlittler's the better pitcher. So yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Cam. I just think that as much as Will Warren's done, Cam is just the better pitcher. He just is. And B-Rye brings up Judge's career as a DH. Basically a 300 hitter. Ton of pop. Gets on base at a Hall of Fame clip. So yeah. Vidya, yeah. Cam is a must-watch. Completely agree. Must-watch talent. And the adjustments are obvious. That's the most exciting thing about Cam Schlittler. We started this episode off talking Cam. We're going to finish it talking Cam. Cam Schlittler is, in my opinion, ace talent. He has the potential to be an ace. Maybe not our ace, because we can afford to spend a lot of money. We can go into an offseason, go get a Michael King, you know, whatever. But for the average team in baseball, I think Cam Schlittler has that type of potential. I thought it was odd seeing him cameoed as, was it Hamilton? A Hamilton play today? It was Hamilton Day at Yankee Stadium, which was odd. I've never been to a Hamilton play. I'll try to do that. And I'm definitely trying, guys, to get this. I'm trying not to dox folks. That's the issue. So bear with me here. See if I can get to another screen. That's not going to work. It's so wild because... Still nothing, guys? Nothing. Yeah, have no idea why. Because technically speaking, even if I did this pre-show, it doesn't give you any feedback as far as if it's showing up or not. I have no idea why it wouldn't be, which is a bummer. I think I may have an idea, though. Trying to cover. No. Yeah, because it's definitely, I just don't want to throw people's phone numbers up there. I'm pretty sure I have an idea. My mom says, apparently Gary is the beauty and Jake is the brains. No, mom. So essentially what's going to happen is before the show starts, I had to have added this to the stage. And if I didn't add it to the stage before the episode, I'm forced to add it to the stage and then everyone's phone number just pops up on there. You can't do that. So that's the dumb part. Yeah, unfortunate, but yeah. What we'll do, Ninja, is we'll put your voicemail into our next episode, where obviously, as my mom put it, the brains will be here for it. Yeah. So Ninja apparently doesn't want you guys to have his phone number. Yeah. But anyway, guys, any other questions before we go? Any comments? We will throw you up on the screen. Really appreciate it. But I'm not reading into anything, but little update on the score. Seattle is beating. No wonder my mom is on her high horse. Seattle's up 9-5 on San Diego. So obviously I assume that J.P. Sears didn't pitch well today. And Seattle winning is not good for us. Obviously Detroit winning, not going to matter for us. Dodgers winning. Boston winning. Everyone won. My God. And Angela wants to know, for the September call-ups, who do I think it's going to be? Jake actually answered this, and in his own way, and I agree with him fully. It's going to be players that you don't want, because the players we want in a Spencer Jones, they just don't fit what the Yankees currently need. And that's a problem. So catcher. Yeah, could be a catcher. And Scott Ross wants to know, Gary, are you a lighter guy? Why do they love him? We have no idea. They were Esteban, right? Esteban Florial. He would go hit 300 in the minor leagues. They would never call him up a day in their lives. And folks wondered, what makes him on the outside as opposed to on the inside and given an opportunity to play? Like, what's the difference there? We'll never have our answers because they don't tell you. They'll just tell you that certain players, despite their numbers, they're just elite. And I know you go crazy trying to figure out, why is Mark Leiter Jr., who, right, Jack Curry comes out and said they're going to go get a lefty. Okay, so our expectations are a lefty and then a righty. We're going to get two guys. We're like, okay, awesome. We go into the deadline. They get De Los Meatballs. And then they also turn around and we're like, okay, so we don't love that. Where's the lefty and where's the good players? Oh, here's Mark Leiter Jr. from Chicago. And none of us knew the answers, but on this podcast, we read the numbers and we talked about the analytics and they said, well, the splitter is really good. And that's the end of it. Fastball's not good. It gets tattooed. You don't really like anything else he's got in his pitch mix. So we said, okay, well, the takeaway must be that they're going to increase the usage rate of that splitter. There's nothing wrong with that, but what else are they going to do? And the answer was nothing. They weren't going to do anything else. They simply wanted to just prove to us, we see something in this player and they're just going to squeeze the lemon until there's just nothing left, until it's just a paste. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate. It is. And am I a lighter guy? I'm pro players that perform. Has Mark Leiter Jr. performed? He performed in the postseason last year. But has he been... He was overworked earlier this season, and we did mention that that would be a problem. It ended up being a problem. We didn't expect him to have the injury that he had. But no, I'm not a Mark Leiter Jr. guy. I'm not a pro... I'm not a stand for any player that's not performing. So... Again, guys, really appreciate you guys being here. If you haven't subscribed to Yankees Unloaded, please be sure to do that. We are about 100 subscribers away. It's insane to say, from 10,000. So you guys are here at the very beginning of Yankees Unloaded. This is only the middle of year two. So we're still a brand new podcast. I guess you can call it that. It doesn't feel like we are because we've done about 1,000 episodes as a daily Yankee show. But we really appreciate it. Drop in the comments. I want to see, what do I want you guys to drop in there? Because we talked about in our previous episode which prospects you guys would want to call up. What would be the best thing for you guys to talk about? I've got it. So Anthony Volpe is slated to play tomorrow. And if you guys, if this is news to you and you're just joining our show late, I'm very sorry. Anthony Volpe is playing tomorrow. It was considered a reset. He's your shortstop. You're getting all of them defensively. His bat, which is one for his last 28, and that includes the bunt that they didn't count as an out. They should have. So he's really one for his last 29. will be in the lineup tomorrow. Tell me what you think, how long Anthony Volpe is going to be in there from tomorrow on before Caballero sees the field at shortstop again. Drop that in the comment section. I'm very curious to see what type of leash Volpe's going to have again now that he just had, I guess you can say, he's had his Monday off. How much longer of a leash is Volpe going to get? I'm going to guess it's long. I'm going to guess he plays every day the rest of the season, and that's not something that should be the case at all. So drop in the comment section what you think. We'll read the best ones. Obviously, I'll be commenting back to all of them. Make sure you subscribe. And of course, guys, like this video.